Shalom, guys. It's Joel Sanchez with Crucified Life Ministries, and we're a Torah-based missions ministry located in Costa Rica. And I just wanted to share my heart here just a little bit, you know, because of some things I've been pondering as of late and thinking about. And hopefully this can encourage some people out there. Because I'm very big in helping people find their purpose and helping people establish a vision for their life. And this is something that I see that many leaders are failing in by not doing. People are talking about and telling people that they need to find their role, but yet as leaders, the leaders aren't helping these people and discipling these people to find their role. So therefore, that's why you have a lot of people infighting and debating and doing a lot of just foolish things. So I take it a step further than just telling people to find their role or find their purpose. I try to teach them how to do that. And we do that through doing the weightier matters of Torah. So with that said, I just want to share my heart here. And hopefully this will be an encouragement and a blessing to others out there. But what I want to begin with by saying is that you don't have to know a lot of things in order to make a difference in this world. Our culture teaches us that we have to be somebody or come from a certain family or have a certain amount of money. And that's not true. I've broken all of those stigmatisms or whatever the word is that shouldn't be used there. I've broken all of that because I didn't come from this well-known family. I didn't have a lot of money. And I'm not anyone other than who the Creator's created me to be and put me here to fulfill a purpose and a mission and goals for Him and His kingdom. So you don't have to know a lot of things in order to make a difference. And you don't even, you know, you do need to know, though, a few things that are great and be willing to live and die for them. See, people making a difference in the world are people who have been mastered by a few things. So if you want your life to count, in other words, you don't have to have a high IQ or even have a high EQ. You don't have to be smart, good-looking, and come from a good family, as I've already mentioned. You just have to know some glorious, obvious, eternal, unchanging things and be gripped by them and be willing to lay down your life for them. This is what we're missing. And this is why we haven't been as effective as we could be in extending and spreading the gospel and building the kingdom throughout the globe. And see, when you know these glorious, eternal, unchanging things, and you're gripped by them, you're moved by them to make a difference, and you're willing to lay your life down for them, then you realize that any one of you listening to my voice can make a difference worldwide. Because at the end of the day, it isn't you, and it isn't about you, it's what you're gripped with. Because one thing I've found in life is what has your attention has you. And the sad thing is there are many people, and possibly even some of you listening to this, that you just honestly could care less if your life, within your life, you make a difference or not. And that's sad. That's a tragedy. You know, I know people that all they want to do is finish school and be liked by everyone or find a husband or a wife and get a good job and, you know, have a nice house with the white picket fence around it, live the American dream, drive a nice vehicle, and once it gets 60,000, 70,000 miles on it, let's trade it in for another brand new one. And then let's not forget, we need to have weekends free to do whatever we want to do. Go on good vacations, you know, grow old, be healthy, have a good retirement, die easy, no hell. And this is what a lot of people want for their lives. And I'm not against those things. I'm not against having things. But most people, most believers could care less if their life counts for eternity. And see, this is a tragedy. This is a tragedy in the making. Think about Stephen. You know, Stephen in the book of Acts. Was his death a tragedy? I ask you, was his death a tragedy? Think about this. You know, who knows? I don't know. I don't even know how old he was, but possibly he had a great life ahead of him. What if the day that he got stoned, what if that morning, what if he had a wife and children? Again, I don't know. I'm speculating here. But possibly he did have a wife and kids who depended on him. But, you know, at the end, how I read it, one thing is for sure, that when he left his house that morning, like many other days possibly, he was going out to be a witness. He wasn't seeking to save his life, but to be a witness with his life. Stephen didn't say, I'm a young man and my anointing is growing and I'm just starting a new fellowship, you know, next week, and my ministry is getting ready to explode and we're going to touch people's lives and do all this. He didn't say, that tons of people are going to be saved under my ministry, so it's actually better for me, you know, to be wise and to keep quiet and not to open my mouth and not to say anything. No, he didn't do any of that. But see, I thank Yahweh that his death wasn't a tragedy, but he has given us an example of what a true believer in Yeshua, how we should live. So here's a story. Some of you may be familiar with Reader's Digest, others may not. But it came from a February 1998 edition that says, that was titled, Start Now, Retire Early. And basically the story talks about how Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs from the Northeast. And, you know, he was 59 and she was 51. And now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. In my opinion, this is a tragedy. Billions of dollars are spent every year on these types of things. So you and I will buy into it. We'll buy into the hype that tells us this is who you are and this is what makes you who you are and this is what gives you your identity. That's a tragedy, and many people fall into that. And I'm here today telling you, sharing from my heart, saying don't buy it. Don't buy into the lie. Your life has a purpose. You were put here to do something for the kingdom. See, these people, you know, it's most people think it's about a nice house, a nice car, a nice family, nice retirement, and collecting shells. When you stand before, when you and I stand before Yeshua on Judgment Day to give an account of our life, we better be able to say more than, here you go, Yeshua. Here's my shell collection. And oh, I forgot, I got a big boat too. Now again, I'm not condemning those of you who may be listening to this who have those things. That's fine. But the issue is, what are we doing for the kingdom? We better be able to say something when we're called on the carpet and have to give an account with what the Creator has blessed us with and how we have administered and been a steward over those things. Well, I'm glad that Stephen and the apostles and the millions of martyrs around the world, I'm glad that they weren't necessarily caught up in trying to collect shells or really build a bigger ministry. Folks, what I'm saying here is don't waste your life on trivial things, things that have nothing to do with eternity. Waste your life on eternal things that will count for the rest of eternity. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Yeshua will last. So let's not throw away our lives on fatal success. We need to get a passion for the things of Yahweh. Get a passion for reaching the lost, for touching the needy, for ministering to the homeless, for reaching and helping and caring for widows and orphans. Some of you may think, well, I'm not called to do those things. Well, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 makes it very clear. He says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So therefore, if you have received the gift of salvation, freely you have received, freely give. So therefore, now you are responsible to go and be a steward of that gift. And many of you listening to this have more than one gift. And it's time for you to go dig those gifts and talents up out of your backyard and put them into practice. Paul tells us in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from Yeshua the Messiah to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. See, do you hear what Paul is saying there? He's saying, my life only counts for one thing and one thing only. So remember, you don't have to know a lot of things in order to make a difference. It's just one thing. Get one thing clear and be willing to die for it, to give your life for it, and to give your life to it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8 says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Yeshua. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah, my Elohim, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Yeshua. See, Paul was consecrated to one thing. What am I consecrated to? What are you consecrated to? Because remember, what has your attention has you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Yeshua the Messiah, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So what Paul is saying here is boast in the cross, boast in that tree. Rejoice or exalt in that tree and what was done on that tree. You don't need a doctorate degree, many things, a lot of money, or the approval of man. But you do need to know this thing. Boast only in the cross. Live and die for this. I know it's strange to say if you're going to boast in life, boast in one thing. The execution of Yeshua under the most horrible method and shameful method there was at that time, it was devised by humans. And that's strange. That sounds strange. About Paul is saying, boast in the cross. I'm sure if you and I would have been there on that day that Yeshua was hung on that tree, we probably would have vomited, screamed, maybe even pulled our hair out and even shouted, no, 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 and ran away or fell on the ground or fainted. And Paul is saying, this is what we are to boast in. This is what we are to exalt in. This is what we are to rejoice in. This bloody, horrible, screaming, nasty, inhumane death? You think Yeshua died quietly? I think he screamed until his voice was raw and even his throat even bled. I personally don't think any human can have nails driven through their wrist and been beaten so badly that their guts are hanging out and they're naked, you know, and just this excruciating pain without screaming. This is why it's so shocking and so odd when Paul says, only rejoice in the brutal murder of Yeshua. What is my boasting in? What is your boasting in? Do you and I only boast in the cross? Does your life, not your words, but your life bear fruit that you only boast in the cross? Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46 says something very interesting. And we need to really revisit this chapter, because this is a very sobering chapter. And a lot of times we think that just because we obey Torah and have Torah, that makes us perfect and we're without sin and we're set apart and all of these things. And I'm not knocking that. We need Torah. We need to live Torah. But Matthew 25 has some great things to say. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all holy angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right hand and goats on His left hand. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Elohim, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in and needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The King will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Elohim, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Guys, it's time for us to stop focusing on these temporal issues and stop making decisions based on how it's going to affect us 5 minutes from now and begin to make decisions based on eternity. What is this going to do to affect the next generation? How can I make a difference here in the world? Matthew 25, that whole chapter is very sobering. I suggest that we go and we reread it. But at the end of the day, the heart of the matter about our purpose and us finding it is we've been bought with a price, as Paul tells us in Corinthians. And it's time that we begin to lay down our lives for one another. And probably what's getting ready to come on the earth, people aren't prepared for it. But what happens when you and I are called, possibly, to have to physically lay down our lives for the gospel? What happens when you and I possibly have to see our children lay down their lives for the gospel? Oh, God would never do that. I'm Torah observant. We're blessed. I agree about Torah observant and being blessed. But you just need to get outside of the United States and go to Vietnam like I have. Go to China. Go to Iraq. Go to Syria, where all of these Christians are having to give their life for the gospel and what they believe. So if they're not exempt and Yahweh is not a respecter of persons, then why do you think you and I are exempt? When we've been given a greater responsibility, we've been given greater resources, and we've been given greater knowledge to do something with the gospel. Now, I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm trying to encourage people and shake you a little bit that we need to wake up and we need to get focused and we need to get a purpose. So I hope that this message has been a blessing to you today. And I really shared directly from my heart. Because see, I used to work with Voice of the Martyrs. I was a volunteer representative for them. And I spent some time in the underground churches in Vietnam. And I can tell you the gospel that they live there, not preach, the gospel that they live is a foreign gospel to you and I. I mean, just for instance, a pastor that I talked to, he watched his wife get raped by 3 policemen in front of him because he would not deny Yeshua. And then he got thrown in jail. And after he got out of jail, he went and found those 3 police officers that raped his wife. And he forgave them. And he preached the gospel to them. You and I probably would have wanted to kill those officers. But see, we don't understand that this is the gospel that has teeth. This is the gospel that the rest of the world, the majority of the world, lives. And we are in the minority here in the West to live this, that we're able to luxuriously live the way that we live. So hopefully we can get back on track and we can find our purpose and we can find what we were created to do and the reason why we were placed here. And if we do, we can be an unstoppable force, and the kingdom and the gospel that we have will explode throughout the globe. But it comes with us making a choice that we're going to be like Stephen. We're going to give our lives 100% to promote and move forward with the kingdom of Yahweh. Until next time, I'm Joel Sanchez with Crucified Life Ministries, signing off. Blessings and Shalom.